Today I'm going to talk about effects of ultraviolet B radiation on southern U.S. rice cultivars. My co-author is Dr. Lee Tapley. For a better development and growth, a plant needs water, nutrients, carbon dioxide, and sunlight. Solar radiation plays an important role in photosynthesis, and it is divided into ultraviolet, visible, and infrared. We have wavelength in nanometers here. Wavelengths between 400 and 700 play an important role in photosynthesis. The ultraviolet region is between 100 and 400 nanometers, and these are the harmful radiations. Ultraviolet is again divided into three regions, that is UVA, B, and C. UVC is blocked by ozone layer, UVB and UVA reaches the Earth's surface. Rice is grown between 45 north to 40 south and mainly grown in China and India. In the states it's grown, mostly grown in the southern states. And this region is experiencing high UVB radiation. Major U.S. rice growing areas, mainly grown in Arkansas, Mississippi, Missouri, California, and along the Gulf Coast. Along the Gulf Coast, we can have two crops, that is the main crop and the ratoon crop, and different varieties are grown in different regions. And along this area, there is increase in UVB radiation. There's increase in UVB radiation due to decrease in ozone layer, and this increase in UVB radiation can affect plant growth, development, physiological processes. Various studies have shown that different rice cultivars respond differently to elevated UVB radiation. Let's see some of the effects of high UVB radiation. It delays seedling emergence and flowering. It decreases plant height and biomass production. It decreases tiller number. Tiller number is highly correlated with yield. In the leaves, it can cause chlorosis, necrosis, desiccation. It causes early senescence, damage to the leaf structure, and decrease in leaf thickness. It reduces stomatal frequency, number and diameter of xylem. It reduces leaf area, chlorophyll content, leaf nitrogen. The above three, that is the leaf area, chlorophyll content, and leaf nitrogen, are highly correlated with photosynthetic rates. It can increase UVB absorbing compounds such as phenolics, and it decreases photosynthesis by affecting leaf area, leaf nitrogen, chlorophyll content, photosystem II, Rubisco activity and content, RUBP regeneration, and stomatal conductance. Around 200 cultivars were screened for UVB tolerance at different times. We have years in this column for different parameters. The parameters are plant dry weight, photosynthesis, chlorophyll, phenolics. We have total nitrogen. And as you all can see here, there was a lot of variation among the rice cultivar for different parameters. So there is a potential to select for UVB tolerant cultivar. But none of our cultivars were included in the studies. So we decided to see if there is any differences among the Texas rice cultivar for elevated UVB radiation. And we wanted to see how it behaved under elevated UVB radiation for rice, for growth, development, physiology, membrane stability, and pollen viability. Two experiments were carried out in the greenhouse, and both the experiments were laid out in complete randomized block design. The greenhouse glass was opaque to incoming natural UVB radiation. Plants were grown in 3-liter pots. Fertilization was done as recommended. And permanent flood condition was maintained 20 days after emergence. In 2006 and 2007, we had 8 varieties: Chenier CL161, Kirkwoodry, Cypress, Presidio, Sierra. All the 6 are conventional cultivars. XL8 and XL723 are the hybrids. In 2007, Chenier was replaced by XL729 and hybrid. As the greenhouse glass was opaque to incoming natural UVB radiation, we provided UVB radiation using UVB 313 bulbs for 9 hours starting from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and the bulbs were wrapped with cellulose acetate to filter out UVC radiation. This is a part of the setup. The bulbs were mounted on the aluminum frame and the intensity was controlled using the dimming ballast, and the frame was 0.5 meters above the plant canopy. There were 3 UVB treatments: 0, 8 and 16. 0 was the control, 8 the ambient, 16 twice the ambient, and we measured UVB intensity using UVX radiometer. In both the experiments, we measured plant height, clump length, number of tillers, ratoon tillers, panicles, leaf area, dry wet, and phenology. We measured photosynthesis using Leica 6400 at 2 stages, that's boot stage and mid-dow stage, in both the experiments. We measured chlorophyll content at both stages, that is boot stage and mid-dow stage, for both the experiments. Phenolic content was measured at early grain field stage in both the experiments. We measured pollen viability and thermal stability in the second experiment, and thermal stability was measured using electrolytic leakage procedures, and it was measured at early grain field stage. Analysis was done using ANOVA procedures, and differences were tested at 0.05. We carried out 2 experiments, and there was no significant difference between the 2 experiments for any parameter, and there was no significant difference between 0 and 16 kilojoules for plant height, clump length, leaf area, chlorophyll content, phenology, tiller number, panicle number per plant. However, there was significant difference between the control and the elevated UVB radiation for photosynthesis at mid-dow stage, leaf phenolic concentrations, pollen viability, membrane thermal stability, and yield. We have photosynthesis on y-axis. These are the stages: boot stage and mid-dow stage. For each variety, there was no significant difference among the UVB radiation for photosynthesis at boot stage. We have 9 cultivars down here. The first 6 are the conventional varieties, and the last 3 are the hybrids: XL8, XP723, and XL729. As the duration of exposure increased, there was difference between 0 and 16 kilojoules for photosynthesis in all the varieties. However, this decrease differ from cultivar to cultivar. We have relative injury. I measured the electrolytic leakage as percentage here, and this was measured at early grain field stage. With increase in UVB radiation, there was increase in injury. That is, increase in electrolytic leakage for all the cultivars. And in this case too, the injury differed from cultivar to cultivar. We have pollen germination percentage on y-axis. With increase in UVB, there was decrease in pollen germination for XL161, Kirkwoodry, XL723 and XL729. There was no significant difference among the UVB radiation for XL8. Along with decrease in pollen germination, there was also increase in grain shattering with increase in UVB radiation. Within our cultivar, this panicle represents 0 kilojoules, this is 8 and this is 16. For all the conventional varieties, Chenier, CL161, Cocodri, Cypress, Presidio, you can see here there's more grain shattering at high UV levels. However, the hybrids did better than the conventional varieties. We have varieties in this column, and this is panicle rye weight in grams at 0 kilojoules, and we have this percentage decrease from the control at high UVB radiation in this column. As you all can see, the hybrids did produce more than the conventional varieties, and on an average there was less decrease in yield for the hybrids when compared to conventional varieties. We selected four parameters for screening UVB tolerant cultivar using parameters of photosynthesis, phenolic content, pollen viability, and relative injury. This is electrolytic leakage. A UV tolerant plant will have less decrease in photosynthesis, less decrease in pollen viability, less injury, and high phenolic content. As you all can see here, XL729 did better than the other cultivars for photosynthesis when we take all the four parameters into account. So, in conclusion, if there is increase in UVB radiation, the better choice will be XL729 among these cultivars which we screened. I would like to thank Texas Rice Belt Warehouse and Texas Rice Research Foundation to support my projects. And thank you. If you all have any questions, I'll try to answer them. That's our next step we are going to do, but I'm not going to correlate panicle dry weight. I would rather correlate the grain weight with other parameters. I didn't get you.
Did you correlate injury parameters one to another? As an example, relative injury by electrolytic leakage is correlated negatively, say, with pulse effect.
No, sir, I did not correlate anything.